Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, Danny Green's tip dunk. Last night was so impressive, Dwight Howard could not even begin to believe it.
I know.
Janae, when's the last time you experienced that made you cause that kind of reaction?
I mean, yesterday, watching this game live. It was crazy. And you know, honestly, I loved it because it was a whole volleyball play. Like, he had a volleyball approach. Everyone was celebrating. There was a tip. Like, the ball was everywhere. Janae, and then it ended up, what?
When I asked him when the last time was, you can't say that. It's got to be the last time before that.
I have
that
type of moments every day. I mean, every day is lit.
Welcome to the Jump. I'm Amin Alhassan, sitting in for Rachel Nichols, who's out on assignment. I'm alongside ESPN senior writer Ramona Shelburne, host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe, and the aforementioned Janae Ogunwoke. All right, so here we go. She gets a shout out. Coming up, Anthony Davis made it a goal to win Defensive Player of the Year. And after 13 games, is he on pace to add more hardware to his mantle? Last week, the basketball universe was abuzz with the news of Portland's impending signing of Carmelo Anthony, ending his unofficial 13-month exile. And while, yes, we're all excited and happy that Melo will get his shot at redemption, I can't help but think about another group of players, many of whom are searching for their first shot of any kind, G Leaguers. When I was assistant director of basketball ops for the Phoenix Suns, one of my responsibilities was to accompany our assignees down to our affiliate in Iowa. By the way, our affiliate coach at the time was some dude named Nick Nurse. Lost track of where he is. I heard he moved to Canada.
That worked out.
The North.
All right. At the time, we then looked at the then-named D-League as an opportunity for our young players to get some meaningful playing time that they wouldn't necessarily receive up with the parent club. Yet, when I think back, one of my great regrets is that we didn't make a more concerted effort at minor league mining. And specifically, I didn't do more to push harder for G-League prospects. Scouting the G-League has always been a different proposition to me than scouting collegiate prospects, where optimism rules the day and we place ceilings and floors of how good a player can be. Rather, G-League scouting involves breaking preconceived notions of who a player is as he's moved on from who he once was when he was first scouted. Finding a player in the draft is like buying your diamond from a mall jewelry store. Finding a player in the G-League is more like finding your diamond in the rough. It's a bit more work, not as sexy. Trust me, you don't want to see Des Moines on a Tuesday in February. But it can be an incredible resource for talent, especially on a budget. Look around the NBA and you'll see that the NBA's official minor league isn't just a source of practice bodies and roster flotsam, but actual contributing rotation players. On Saturday night, Miami's Kendrick Nunn recorded his sixth 20-point game of the young season, tying him for the rookie lead with number 2 overall pick John Morant and giving him the most 20-point games through the first 12 games of an undrafted rookie's career. Nunn, of course, played last year for the Santa Cruz Warriors before being signed by the Heat on the last day of the 2018-19 season. And after a summer of development and indoctrination into the Heat culture, he has emerged as a bona fide starter for a Heat team that's tied for second best record in the Eastern Conference. Doesn't stop there. G League success stories are all over the best teams in the league. In Toronto, Chris Boucher has followed in the footsteps of Fred VanVleet of making the leap from Raptors 905 to just full-on Raptor. In L.A., Alex Cruz has successfully ingrained himself as a Laker crowd favorite. Daniel House in Houston, Brad Wanamaker in Boston, all undrafted players who spent time in the G League and off the beaten path who are now playing rotation minutes. So while we all enjoy the rush of nostalgia when an old name like Melo's resurfaces, let's remember that for the best-run franchises, they're able to reach beyond the familiar, to bypass the mall jewelry store and go searching for their own diamonds in the rough. So, Chinay, which team has used the G League best so far in your opinion?
Well, your girl has worked 3 G League showcases.
Oh,
I really do enjoy the G League. I think you get an appreciation when you're down there for like a week and you're watching and play. There are games happening every day, about 5 or 6 of them. And I was there in Mississauga in Canada. And it was really cool because we know the big names. We know Pascal Siakam, who was a G League Finals MVP, mm-hmm. a G League champion. We know Chris Boucher now, based on his big win against the Lakers, he was a G League MVP. But like the Lorenzo Browns, the Malcolm Millers, guys that end up with rings on rosters, those guys I have a real appreciation for. And I started with my experience in Toronto because I remember I was calling a game. I called the Raptors 905 game. And that same day, those two guys, Lorenzo Brown, who's actually been a G League MVP, mm-hmm. played in the Raptors game that same night. Right. The Raptors blew him out and they played the whole second half. So they played 2 games in one day. And I had an appreciation for like the young talent and also the opportunities. Sometimes everyone thinks we have to go straight to overseas if it doesn't work out in the NBA. Well, no, the G League does a great job of harvesting talents. You learn that in very different typically cold places where they are. You're right about that.
It's almost like a part of the test, though. Are you willing to play in the G League? Because you can make a lot more money overseas. And so a lot of players, especially their agents, will want them to go overseas because they can make more right away. But if you bet on yourself and you say, I'm going to stick it out for that year in Missagua, right? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to stick it out for the year in Des Moines. That's when you really get seen. And that's when, and teams, I think this is the next evolution for this, is when they really put the system that they run with the big league club down into the G League.
For sure, the proximity of the G League and the frequency with which you get seen is a big deal. How about Sioux Falls? That's the one, and it's hard for me to pick against the Heat. The Heat, both developing guy. I mean, Duncan Robinson is also starting for the Heat right now, and monitoring guys who fall through the cracks, say like Kendrick Nunn, or even monitoring guys who are kind of once highly touted or talented, like Hassan Whiteside was in the D League at the time. The Heat have done an incredible job mining talent from there.
Clint Capella too. You can mention that, and it's not just the players; it's also the coaches. When I was talking about that Raptors 905, the coach on that team was Jerry Stackhouse, who then became assistant at Memphis and now is a full time coach with Vanderbilt. So it's harvesting all kinds of talent.
And, you know, I mentioned Nick Nurse and his assistant, Nate Bjorken, was his assistant down in Iowa when they were our affiliate in Phoenix. And, you know, you're right. It is a pipeline for the good organizations use it a pipeline for everybody, not just players. And I think that's the interesting thing. Your example of Missagua, it's easier to do that because it's there. South Bay, it's easier to do it for the Lakers because it's there. Miami is able to do with Sioux Falls that's so off the beaten path, it's just crazy.
I think they like that.
Yeah, no, they love it. They're not going to change it. Yeah. All right, Kobe Bryant made a rare guest appearance last night to see the Lakers take down the Hawks at Staples, giving support to both former rival LeBron James and former teammate Dwight Howard. Ramona, I understand you've got some dirt on the significance of Kobe's visit last night.
So this is probably the first time he has gone as exclusively a fan since he retired.
Right, he went the one time for the jersey retirement.
For the jersey, and then I think there was a time last year where he went, but there was tied into something he was doing business-wise. This was just Kobe going because his daughter wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And then what I understand is that they were up at the Mamba Academy in Thousand Oaks, and Gigi just went to him and said, you know, I want to go to the game. And so Kobe went to the game and sat courtside. And this, like, I don't know if you know the optics of how important that is for Kobe to be giving LeBron that endorsement. But they have not had a lot of contact since LeBron has come to town. There was that phone call last year. But they've really kind of talked around each other. There hasn't been a lot of connection between the two standard bearers of the franchise. And I think there's, you know, been some chilliness with Laker fans, at least, in embracing LeBron, but feeling like this is still Kobe's town, and like, do you have to reject Kobe to embrace LeBron? LeBron's playing like an MVP this year. Kobe showing up, giving him that hug and the dap, I thought was a big moment, whether it's between them just optically or for everybody.
And I love it because it sort of happened chance, because Kobe is in the mentorship stage of his career. As WNBA players, whether it's NBA or WNBA, whatever league you play in, Kobe is looking to help give his knowledge to the next generation. And that's largely because of his daughter is a hooper, and she loves basketball. Throughout the summer, we saw him at the Vegas Aces game, the WNBA All-Star
game. He's been to more Sparks games.
Does that shock you that he's been to more Sparks games than Laker games?
More WNBA games probably than Laker games, but it doesn't surprise me because he has a daughter that wants to play basketball. And I think that the player you're alluding to, I want to go to a game, it's Trae Young. It's the next generation. So you have that Mamba Academy where a lot of players are around, and it's largely because he's looking for positive role models. And of course we're going to sign up. I know there's like a Kobe camp that I'm probably going to go to in January.
You're a counselor?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get my work in. It's largely because everyone wants to get the knowledge from Kobe, also wants to give back to the game. So he's allowing us to give back to his daughter and his daughter's team. And in turn, that gets us to the Laker game, which in turn gives us this reunion, which is kind of cool.
You're right, though, Momo. There's been this thing where LeBron somehow, it's still weird,
it's weird
that he's on the Lakers.
Yeah.
And when you meet Lakers fans, there are a lot of them where I live in New York, there are Lakers fans everywhere. LeBron is never going to surpass Kobe. He's never going to be Kobe. Yep. It's Kobe's. A lot of them are like ambivalent. This is strange. Like, but you know what solves all that is winning
titles
and being maybe the best team in the NBA.
Sure.
More than a Kobe, you know, dad.
I mean, there are
winning.
Still Laker fans that, like, he's King James, but Kobe's still probably the king of LA.
Oh, okay? For sure.
So for him to have that moment with LeBron, like, that was as close as an endorsement as you can come.
The supreme leader of Kobe stand is what he calls him. LeBron is King James. Kobe's the supreme leader. Aside from Kobe's appearance, the Lakers moved to an NBA best 11-2 last night against the Hawks. Anthony Davis had his second five-block game of the season and is the only player in the NBA averaging at least 3 blocks a game. Davis proclaimed 2 months ago his goal this year was to win Defensive Player of the Year. Zach, nearly 4 weeks into the season, is AD on pace to win the award?
I think he's in the conversation more seriously at this stage than he's ever been. I mean, there's been a lot of seasons where it just seems like he should be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And the Pelicans always underperformed. It wasn't necessarily his fault, but it just never happened. And now the Lakers are the best defensive team in the league with personnel that is good and big and rangy. But he's the one that's really making it all happen more than anyone. And he can guard whoever they ask him. I mean, he guarded Kawhi down the stretch of the very first game. So I think he's more seriously in the conversation than he ever has been.
I absolutely agree, and it's really funny because if you look at the numbers here, first in blocks per game, if you think about going to the rim, I was watching the game last night, I was like, oh, that's a bucket, never mind. Oh, that's a bucket, nope, he got it. Like, his range is ridiculous with his wingspan. Yeah, he's leading in blocks, but I just think the overall effect he has, this Lakers team was 13th in defensive efficiency last year. Now they're first. Adding Anthony Davis and also getting Dwight Howard has a big reason why they have been able to be better defensively, largely because that rim protection makes everyone better. Avery Bradley's able to, you know, be better on the ball. Danny Green is obviously talented in transition defense. So it's a contagious effect, but this is the year for him to win DPOY.
But, I mean, he has always had that ability, like you said, Zach. I remember going to Draymond Green a couple years ago. After Draymond had won it the next year, the Warriors didn't have the team stats and he hadn't had that kind of a year. And I said, who do you like? Like, you're the reigning defensive player there. Who do you like? And that was the year Gobert ended up winning, and maybe Draymond was just giving a little poke to Gobert. But he goes, I like Anthony Davis. He's the guy who can guard 1-5, and he has no weakness. Like, you can't just bring him out on the perimeter and then beat him off the dribble. Like, he can guard you.
He's the ultimate help defender.
And I think that now he's finally on a team where that team is going to lift him and he lifts them. Because he's inspired. Is this the best defensive play that LeBron's had in his career? I mean, in a while. At least say in a while.
In a while. And with Kuzma back now, they're going to play him at center more, which is going to give him a chance to show off his rim protection. By the way, you're right. Danny Green, greatest transition defender maybe ever.
I'm just surprised more teams aren't trying to do what Toronto did, which is pull those bigs out. You let them sit in the paint, they're going to do what Cheney said they did. All right, coming up, after another 41 shots, put on my heart. That's a lot.
It's working.
The Rockets are once again near the top of the West, but how far can Houston go with this style? But first, it's time for our distant replay from this day in 2001. Guys, is it Vince Carter? Is it Vince Carter?
Seems like it's always Vince Carter.
I know. 7-0
run here. Oh, yeah.
Look out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's my guy.
I think I saw that in the D-League highlighter.
In the house that Charles Barkley built, but Amin renovated.
Double pump. Great finish. Play.
Oh, look at Thunder Dan.
Dan Marley. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's a make or miss league.
Make. Miss.
Ovo je Liga promašaja I pogodaka.
Spice it up a bit. All right. Make humility. Second quarter. Hawks, Lakers. Check out this move by Evan Turner. This is LeBron sliding. Then later in the game, LeBron gets left hanging by Dwight. Hold on. We'll see you here in a second. Janae, what's more embarrassing? Left hanging or?
So the thing is, I watched the play live. It's tough to get left hanging twice. Twice in one game. This was the second time. So yeah. But I mean, you got to go for the clap.
Quick recovery, though.
It was.
Stylish recovery.
You know who the best recoverer is at that? Is Josh Hart.
Yeah.
He does it so well.
It happens to him a lot, though.
But see, we don't talk about this crossover because the next play was a dunk, and so we were over it quick.
All right. Well, I think we are talking about it
right now. Who's the guy behind LeBron who actually got the high five?
Miles Simon?
Yeah. No, that wasn't him.
All right. Miss. Friendly bounces. Celtics down one inside 5 seconds. Marcus Smart drives, shoots a floater, and it dances on the rim. Falling off. Check out Javonte Green on the C's bench. Zach, was he trying to scream the ball in? Does that even work? Look at this.
Look at him. You got whatever it takes in
my
that moment.
My sound waves can make it.
We do this on the free throw line. I'm like,
look how angry he is. He's failed. His screaming failed.
It works, though. The gods of Spalding and Wilson sometimes listen.
Wilson?
Yeah.
Last time you played with a Wilson.
Shoot, man. I play in the streets. You know what I'm
saying? You're not necessarily.
Any ball.
Next topic.
That is a fierce scream.
It is.
Make spin cycles. Take out this move on the blacktop in the streets. Guys, besides dribbling is overrated.
Oh, my God.
Does some pointless spinning and hits a mid-range jumper.
Hold up. Carry.
Travel.
Oh, guys, you've been watching too many Sarbury highlights.
Ooh. Yeah. That's much better.
Is that
better
Jake Boskel versus
that was Jake Boskel, and that was Ricky Davis
actually
on the defense.
Good catch too.
Oh yeah,
he just played the whole team in that one position.
It's actually a pretty good defense, but the guy didn't fall for it.
Jake Boskel.
Look at him, he's sticking right with them. That's good.
That is a double dribble.
Great defense.
All right, miss giving up. Monmouth Kansas, Jayhawks up 55 and they're dribbling the clock out because that's what you should do.
Yeah.
George Packer says no.
You do you.
I'm going to get my steal and I'm going to get the dunk. And then I'm going to let you know about it. I dunked all over you. Janae, are you a fan of George Pappas?
Pappas said knock you out.
Hey!
Pappas said knock you out. You know what? I'm here for this. I think he should be first team all petit.
Oh.
This is first team all petit.
My man, Karan. They got so mad. I remember this one.
This guy is my new favorite college basketball player. Right?
Okay.
Right?
Well,
it's the talking trash afterwards and getting angry at the deficit that really takes it to the next level.
Let him know about it. You're going to be a D-League invite.
Some respect.
That's right.
On my name.
Come on.
I like
pay $150. Do the workout. Make comebacks. Wizards Magic. Wiz down three late. Markel Fultz comes up with the steal and the dunk.
The dunk. Yeah, Markel.
Throw it down.
Zach, your thoughts on Fultz's season thus far?
I think it would be a great, great story if this lasted. I was surprised the Magic promoted him to the starting lineup as fast as they did, but he made two left wing threes last night very comfortably. Like, this is starting slowly but surely to happen.
My thing was always, he can bring so much to the court that has nothing to do with shooting. Don't focus on the jump shot. Do the things you can do, and that's one of the things right there. All right, let's move to a team that's been in the playoffs for each of the previous 22 seasons, the San Antonio Spurs. The common denominator for each playoff appearance is Coach Pop. Back on Saturday, Pop was ejected for stepping on the court to argue a non-call. That's a very nice way to put it. Tim Duncan took over with Becky Hammon right by his side. That was the Spurs' fifth straight loss, their longest losing streak since 2011. Zach, is this it? This is the year we're going to put the nail in the coffin. They're dead. They're not going to make the playoffs. Forget about it. They're going to have to rebuild.
They undertake a write-up whenever we do this. So yeah. I'm not going to go there because I actually thought they would be better than this. I'm surprised how bad they have been. They're 24th in defense. They just look bad and disorganized. And I actually thought with Murray coming back and I'd like the DeMar Carroll signing. I don't really know what's going on there. He hasn't played. I'm a little surprised how bad they are. But what scares me? 8 home games already and a really easy schedule, and they're way behind the 8-ball, and they stink with DeRozan and Aldridge on the court again, which is a problem that it was last year.
See, to me, this is the first real transitional year for the Spurs. I know we just celebrated Tony Parker's jersey retirement, and they haven't been on the team. That core, the big three, is all, you know, is gone. But if you look at the way they're playing, they're changing their style of play, kind of. They're playing a little bit faster. They're still trying to find out what they have with their stars. LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, those guys, they're not really locked in for the long term. So I think this is their exploratory period where they're trying to find, okay, DeJounte, how good are you? How are you going to help us? They don't have anything tied to the future. So this is the first time that Pop's system is evolving. And I'll even allude this to Stanford Women's Basketball. When I was at Stanford, we played triangle the whole time I was there. When my sister and I graduated, there was not necessarily a dominant post for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. They had to redo the system. And there were some times where, okay, you didn't make it to the Sweet 16. You didn't make it to the Final Four. But a couple years later, you find your new identity. This is the first time their system is really changing. And our coach, Tara Vanderveer, is a Hall of Famer, very similar to Pop.
I liked your humble brag, by the way. Oh, you didn't have a dominant post presence.
But it takes some time.
Well, there's also the triangle that you have to be smart enough to go to Stanford to run the triangle.
Where did you go to school?
I don't know. can we talk, though, about the missed opportunity? Like, Tim Duncan was coaching that team, but there was a lot of confusion about who was the actual coach there. And I was following this. We tried to watch it on League Pass because we were at the Clipper game that night. And it was Becky Hammon had a clipboard. Like, and she's the highest ranking assistant besides Pop, so it seems like that should have been her game. So she has a clipboard. Will Hardy's in there. Tim Duncan's there. Pop clarified afterwards that Tim was coaching the team because he had the Blazers scout, and so therefore he stepped into that role. But for a minute there, I was getting really excited, right? We had our first female head coach in the NBA, and then it wasn't. And I've processed this a little bit. I had a chance to run into Lindsey Harding, who was here with the Sacramento Kings the other night, and we were talking about there's 10 female coaches in the league right now. They're all assistant coaches, and Becky was the first, but now that there are 10, I think we have to be careful to not always focus on the history and remember, like, she needs to be treated, and they all want to be treated the same way any assistant coach would be. Oh. When you earn that opportunity, when it's that moment where you're going to make the history, that you've earned it and you're not just getting it because you are a woman, and we're not focusing on that because you're a woman. So I guess as much as I was disappointed, I understand it because Tim did have the scout.
To be honest with you, Ramon, I remember when she was interviewing for the job in Milwaukee, and I said, and people got on me because they thought I was trying to throw shade, but I said, this doesn't happen. Second row assistants don't get
interviews.
Head coaching interviews. And there's a kind of stepping stone process, and I kind of respect that, you know, that's what she's going through right now. All right, coming up, Giannis Antetokounmpo is improving his three-point shot this season. Are we seeing peak Giannis?
Uh-oh.
We'll show you his numbers compared to some of the top stars in today's game.
Let me see that.
Next.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to surprise you.
Cash out.
Some of these names will surprise you. The Disney bundle is now available. You get ESPN Plus with great content like NFL Prime, UFC, NHL, and the 30 for 30 library. And you get Hulu. And you get Disney Plus with The Mandalorian, my favorite show in the world right now. If you're not watching it, you need to sign up right now. Go to ESPNPlus.com to sign up. You get all three of those for $12.99 a month. Crazy deal.
It's exciting when there are multiple teams. That's exciting.
Jeez.
Every night of the season.
There's no way Patazzi could have had any idea what was about to happen.
That was Giannis on Saturday, dunking on three Pacers at once. Welcome back to The Jump. I feel really bad for Jakar Sampson because he tried and it just didn't work out.
Look out.
The Bucks are 7-1 in November. Giannis continues to improve on his MVP year with career highs in points and rebounds this season. But what might be the scariest stat? He's shooting 39% from three-point range this month, 32% on the season. Zach, are we reaching peak Giannis?
First of all, some of those dunks are just rude.
Like, he's just rude. It's just rude. It's impolite what he's doing to some of these dudes.
Giannis this season is taking, it's not so much the percentage, because it's going to go like this, right? We're going to be able to isolate, six games he was really good, six games he was really bad. He's taking more of them. He's taking three pull-up threes a game, up from like 1.7, 1.8 last year. He looks comfortable. And look, the only hope you have of defending him now is that you put a center on him and lay all the way back and wait, because he's not going to shoot, or his teammates are bad and can't shoot, which isn't the case. And if he eliminates that first strategy, I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do anymore other than just sort of pray he has a bad night.
Yeah. Talking about my former coach, she used to call that prayer defense when you're hoping like that he misses or she misses.
Like when you played UConn?
Yeah.
No. Wow.
We beat them on their end. We beat their 88-game win streak. I have a good record against UConn. Three Final Fours, actually. When it comes to Giannis, a fellow Nigerian, that is great. I really think he has opportunity to develop just that rhythm and the reads on the perimeter. As you mentioned, he's knocking down those threes. It's sort of like he winds up, he dribbles into them, and then he shoots. He's assessing. That's beautiful.
That shot right there, he doesn't make last year. He probably doesn't take it that
He doesn't take it last year, but he has to now.
He started in the playoffs. That's the big thing. Last year in the playoffs, he started taking more and more of those shots and making them around the clip. He's making them right now.
Well, also, you just watch the defense. He's taking them because they're sagging off and because they're daring him to take it. And he's just pulling up and taking it now. And it looks like he's really confident in those pull-up threes.
Is he a front runner for MVP?
I mean, look at the numbers, though. Look, 30, 14, and 6.
I don't think you can ignore James, and I don't think you can ignore the way LeBron's playing right now for him to be leading the league in assists.
By the way, these names are not a coincidence. He's shooting better from three than everyone else on this list. And I know it's early, but that's still not something that we would expect.
Probably a smaller sample size from three than most of those guys.
No, he's taking about four a game. So, I mean, it's a...
And James is...
I don't know, not four games. Current Western Conference Player of the Week, James Harden. Is that the James you're talking about?
Yes, it is.
Is averaging 39.5 points per game. He had 49 on Saturday on a career high, 41 shots. So did I at Levitard's wedding. On top of that, over their last five games, Houston has the second best ranked defense in the league. They're on a 7-game win streak. During that stretch, only the Clippers and Pelicans have offensive rankings in the top 10. So, Shanae, is the Rockets' win streak for real, or is it schedule-based? And I want to focus on the defensive side of
that. Yeah, it's real. And the reason why their defense struggled early on is because they were not making shots. They led the league, and they probably still lead the league in three-point attempts per game. And when you take that many threes, and what did James Harden start shooting? About 15, 18%? When you're taking about 20 threes and only making three, four, five, obviously long threes mean longer rebounds, which means a shorter court for your opponent. They're getting and going from the three-point line, not the baseline, and then that's easier offense for your opponent. Now they have an opportunity with James Harden making shots to set up their defense. Once you take it out of bounds, your whole team gets back and your defense gets better. So the more they make shots, the better their defense will continue to be. And it's number one in the league right now. So yes, I think the Rockets, they live and die by the three. But the best case scenario here is keep making them, setting up your defense. And then now you're realizing you're a contender with Russell Westbrook as well, because you're also playing faster.
Well, and transition defense is the weakest part of their defense, because A, they have some bad habits. And B, you know, when you play the way they do, you have two corner shooters, a guy under the rim, and Harden driving. If he misses, you have no floor balance at all. So making shots, that's important. Their start to the season, you get a team or two like this every year where they're so bad defensively for six or seven games. It just looks like they're not on the same page. They're learning each other, and now they've learned each other. So I think it's real-ish. I think it's real. The opposition has clearly helped, though.
Can we talk about the 41 shots, though?
Let's
So when Kobe Bryant, in his last game, scored 60 points, he took 50 shots. Yes, that's the most shots I have seen in person.
Yeah.
okay? But he took 50 shots because his teammates started feeding him the ball in the second half to say, keep shooting, keep shooting. We want you to get as many points as you can. Like, this is 41 shots in the course of a normal game.
Well, Russ didn't play.
Right.
Russ was out. My thing with all the people who hate watching Harden, and I get it. I don't love watching Harden. It's like, stop it. Yeah. Stop it. Like, until the math doesn't work, they're going to play like this. And so if you hate it, if you're one of these purist coaches, stop it. Do something to make the math not work.
And I'm not going to get too emotionally invested considering I'm from Houston. I've been emotionally invested in this team my whole life.
Who are you going to claim in one day?
But if you think about it, like, if his teammates don't have a problem with him taking those many shots, I know maybe one or two might, but his greatness overpowers that, then it's cool. But until his greatness starts to, you know, piddle down, then maybe it will actually be an issue.
Put simply, it's the best chance they have at winning. The way they play right now, that's the best chance they have to win games. So I you can't argue with it. And I would argue that fans don't like it, but when you talk to players on other teams.
Exactly.
His handle, everything?
They got a lot of respect for him.
Awe.
All right.
Awe.
Coming up, Paul George is off to a great start with the Clippers. He's just two games in. But is it possible that PG can be better than he was last year? But first, here's what the Jump recommends for today. Jonathan Givony and Mike Schmitz have new intel on potential number one draft pick James Wiseman. Ooh. Is his top spot at risk?
Mm.
Plus reports on several other top 100 prospects now available on ESPN Plus. SportsCenter 4 Eastern on ESPN with Hannah and Keith. To look at how Patrick Mahomes can mask the Chiefs' defensive concerns tonight against the Chargers. Plus, the latest on Tua's hip surgery today. Friday! What a doubleheader we'll have for you right here on ESPN and on the ESPN app. DeMar DeRozan leads the Spurs against Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons and the Sixers at 8 Eastern, and then James Harden, he of the 41 shots. Russell Westbrook and the Rockets take on Kawhi and Paul George and the Clippers right here in L.A. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7. I am pumped for that. It's only taken two games for Paul George to make history as a Clipper and just his second game back from multiple shoulder surgeries. PG scored 37 points in 20 minutes. That's the most points scored in under 21 minutes over the last 65 seasons. After the 49-point blowout of the Hawks, George said, I got new shoulders. I haven't been this healthy in a long time. Ramona, PG had his best season last year and finished third in MVP voting. Is it possible for him to be actually better this year than he was last year?
Yeah, I believe him. I mean, he's not even good yet. Like, he's still getting himself back into shape. And defensively, you can see that when he's out moving on the court, he doesn't really have his legs yet. He doesn't really have his rhythm. But, like, he could not miss the other night. I was at that game, and, like, it was like every shot he took, it was just going in. Like, and I think some of that is because of the way when he was rehabbing, he was playing 3-on-3, and he was going against a bunch of the rookies. And they were pushing him the whole time. So, like, he's got his competitiveness up, but he's got his touch around the basket, but wait till he really gets his legs back.
I thought the New Orleans game, even though he didn't score as many points, he played better in the New Orleans game. Zach, what do you see?
I didn't think he could be better than he was last year, and I'm a huge Paul George fan. I thought last year was about as good as it could get. Mm-hmm. He's going to play some real defenses pretty soon. Those numbers will come down a little bit, but if he can be better than he was last season, the league is in a little bit of trouble because he was ridiculous last season on both ends of the floor.
And I can see him being better, and I think this is where this is like the relatability show. Everything is sort of preaching to my life because as an athlete that's come back from a major injury, it takes you 2, 3, sometimes 4 years to get back to feeling like yourself. So it's been a slow burn for him, but the fact is that the ceiling is not there. You know, he's getting better, and it's not just him shooting and being unproblematic on a team as a number two option because he was a number two in OKC, and he's probably going to be number two with the Clippers. The fact that you get someone so dominant at the number two that can go 10 for 17 and give you 33 and 37 in both games, that to me is what's going to set him over the edge. So yeah, I'm not surprised just because I know physically it takes a while to feel like you know how to manage your body, you know? But I think the fact that he is more efficient is what blows me away.
I'm going to say it. No, you guys are dancing around it. Is it he's better or is he in a situation where he's playing with better teammates, wink, wink, and better coaching?
Well, it's early. It's two games. You know, I know what you're wink-winking about.
I mean, come on, man.
And I get it. I'm interested to see how Kawhi and PG mesh. And I think the other issue is Kawhi hasn't looked the same since the first five or six games of the season. And, like, he needs a number two like Paul George to lift him up a lot tonight. So I can't wait to see the dynamic. Better teammates. Man, the Clippers are a better team than the Thunder, for sure.
Speaking of which, for those waiting for Kawhi and PG to play together, Kawhi is questionable tonight against the Thunder. That's right.
Look at those rings.
Look at that. Yeah. As you know, the defending champion Toronto Raptors received their rings opening night. Players from the 15-man title roster on different teams such as Kawhi and Danny Green will get theirs when they come to town. Who will not be getting a ring tonight are DeLon Wright, Jonas Valanciunas and CJ Miles. Those three players were dealt from Toronto at the trade deadline in February. Now, Raptors GM Bobby Webster had this to say Saturday to the Toronto Sun. Quote, it's not an easy decision, but to be honest, I think it's standard. I mean, we did our homework. We talked to teams, and I think, I don't remember, there was maybe one scenario where a team offered one. I think it was Anderson Varejao in Golden State, but I think it was a really unique circumstance. That referring to when Varejao played 14 games for the Warriors during the 2016-17 season, but was waived in February that year. Varejao was offered a 2016 Cavs title ring, even though he was traded to Portland at the trade deadline. He declined that ring from Cleveland. Shanae, I want your player's perspective. You okay with those three guys not getting rings despite not working for the Raptors for the last 4 months of that season?
So I've heard from players, and also I talked to Bobby Webster when he was at the Lakers game, and it's funny, you see all the front office guys, the rings are the backgrounds of their phones. They love their rings, and even Kyle was like, this is the best ring. It's going to be the biggest. We want you guys to love it. Maybe it just hit, like, over the ring salary cap. Like, they're in the luxury tax.
Yeah, those are big rings.
And so they can't really –
They got the replica ones.
But I do think, you know, Bobby is a great guy, and I think that you have to at least extend the offer of getting a ring.
Man.
To me, I feel like, yeah, as a player,
you can't have nothing to do with it.
The thing is, you can't determine what someone feels about their involvement in the franchise outside of the player. Like, the player should be the person having that judgment. I know they're expensive, they're beautiful, they're awesome, they're iconic. But the player should be able to say, you know what? I left midway through the season, nah. Or you know what? I wasn't even there to the finals run, nah. Or maybe it's like, this might be the only ring I'll ever have. Let me cop that real quick. So it's just, it's something the player should determine.
The ring is a burden, man. Look at those things. You can't wear
them.
It's too
big.
You can't wear them.
They're just going to be in your house.
It's just for the gram.
They're just going to be at your house. Like, what are you going to do with
it?
I'm going to be worried that I'm losing it.
A ring is a burden?
The only
thing. Let me get one day. I'll take all your burdens.
I'm with you. The only thing I will say, if I were Jonas Valanciunas and I was the longest tenured dude on the team,
thank you.
And you gave a ring to the superfan Nav and not me,
thank you.
I might be a little ornery about that. He didn't play. Nav didn't play.
Nav's been there longer. He hasn't missed a day.
I'm generally with you. I can just see Jonas after all those years. I'm like, you know, that's kind of, I'm a little irritated by that.
It should be his decision, not the team's.
Ramona, speak truth.
There's a precedent, and I think that when one team breaks that precedent, then all things are out the window, right? Like, we've been having, like, these comeback videos for everybody. And, like, what's the threshold? It used to be, like, Hall of Famers or lower or higher, right? And now it's, like, everybody gets a high welcome back video. So, like, I actually think they should get rings or at least have the option. But I think if the Raptors do it, then every other team has to do it.
These are great problems to have.
I'm just saying, man. Producer Steve, can you get Adrian Dantley on the line? Ask him about his Pistons ring. Oh, okay.
It's not a salary cap. Come on now. If you can afford that big ring, you can afford three more.
The ring luxury tax.
MLSC makes a lot of money. Time now for the latest installment of one of my favorite shows, As the King's Time. But this time, we have a true plot twist. After starting the season 0-5, the Kings of Sacramento have won 5 of the last 7 matches, including yesterday's bout against the Celtics of Boston. That's without 2 of their top players, Mr. Bagley and Mr. Fox. Also worth pointing out, one of their losses was a down-to-the-wire loss to the Lakers. Zach, what's changed?
We all have to talk like that or no?
No, it's just me because I'm the narrator.
Defensively, they've played well after playing horribly for the first few games of the season. And, shockingly, enough games went by. Buddy Hield started making shots. Bjelica started making shots. Guys that were just missing. Buddy Hield was shooting like 20% from 3 when they were 0-5. They're making shots. They have a lot of, even without Fox and Bagley, they have a lot of decent NBA players. They should be a tough out every single night. They're playing well. I'm happy for them.
Well, we learned during the World Cup how good Bogdanovic is, right? And in that game against the Lakers, I mean, he kept them in it in that second half. He has an incredible shot-making ability where you can play great defense on him, but he can still get the three off. And I think they had 16 threes against the Lakers. They had 14 threes against the Celtics. So when they shoot like that, they're going to be in any game.
Yeah, it's a make-or-miss league. And during this stretch, they have been the best, second-best three-point shooting team in the NBA. So that's going to help you.
Rashawn Holmes has been huge for them, stabilizing the center spot. He's been really good.
All right. And there we go. We look at the numbers right there. October, not so good. Frightful. November, looking up. I like that. 5-2 November after an 0-5 start. Do you guys expect this to continue?
Well, Bogdanovic, to me, is the guy that seems to be elevating his level. And when he plays consistently like that, then I think they go. But that also is an interesting decision for them going forward because they chose not to extend him.
Well, and they've, when Fox comes back, they've been hesitant at times to play Fox, Hield, and Bogdanovich together because their defenses suffer. But those are three of your five best players for sure. I was – their 0-5 start was one of the truly befuddling things that happened in the NBA this season. I thought 39 wins last season, if they could approach that again, that's a successful season. I thought they would get around that, high 30s, not make the playoffs, but get close. For them to come out looking so clueless, and it was just, it was baffling. Like, I just didn't understand what to make of it.
And let's talk about it, though. Every game matters in the West, because if you think about a team like the Kings, they wanted to be in the playoffs last year. This was a year that we expected them to sort of be there, and they're not. There are a lot of teams that weren't in the playoffs, like the Lakers, that got better. You can even talk about the Dallas Mavericks. So every game really matters.
Every game matters. Hear that, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in to all these games on TV. Up next, for the first time since Dame waved bye-bye to Russ, the two all-star point guards face off. But what will happen tonight?
Ooh.
First, though, second distant replay. This one from 2004. Fingers crossed. Can I get it? No, no two Vince Carters. Have we ever had the double Vince Carter?
Get out of the way.
Oh,
very good business.
Look at a young LeBron.
It's a very good business decision.
Wow.
A month shy of his 19th birthday right there. Look at that.
Hang time on.
Ira Nubel was the one that grabbed the ball and rolled it.
Bam.
B-Lo's laughing because he's got an Ira Nubel jersey in his closet, don't you?
He does not.
B-Lo's the biggest cat. NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts with Luka and the Mavs hosting the Warriors. Then it's Celtics Clippers from across the street at Staples Center. Our coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 on ESPN and the ESPN app. And it's crunch time here on The Jump. D'Angelo Russell out at least 2 weeks with a thumb sprain. Shanae, how hard is it to play through a thumb sprain?
It's not that hard.
Oh! Conspiracy theories! They're doing it on purpose.
But I'm not mad at him. He already gave you his, like, what? I'm still here game, the 30-piece, the 52-piece, the 30-piece. He's like, I'm still here. I'm still good. It was not the Brooklyn system. This is me. I'm a bucket. Now I'm going to sit down with the rest of them.
They are running the most elaborate scam on the entire league.
Come on,
they're
going
to come back next year. They're going to have a top three pick.
He's
We're
going to
say the Warriors
hurt.
Are back.
Look out.
Come on.
I'm not mad at you, D-Lo. I'm not mad at you at all.
Throw it down, D-Lo.
I'm going to give him some credit. He's legitimately hurt. They thought it was
thumb
worse.
Thumb sprain.
You still have a thumb sprain.
I'm playing.
Wizards. I would sit.
Wizards are first in offensive efficiency. Number one in the league. Zach, how is this happening?
Bradley Beal's on fire, and the Lakers' discard center pile is doing very well. Thomas Bryant, Mo Wagner leads the league in true shooting percentage. Davis Bertans is hitting everything he throws up. They're like, they shouldn't be first in offensive efficiency. It's kind of a crazy story.
It's because their strategy is to simply outscore. If you look at how many points they put up.
They ignore the defense. Yes. Just let them have fun.
29th in defensive efficiency.
Let them have fun.
It's all offense. Why not?
I like that as a slogan. Let them have fun.
Yeah.
You're not going to win much. All right. It was quite a weekend for the Charlotte Hornets. On Friday, Malik Monk nailed a buzzer beater at home to sink the Pistons. Then on Saturday, my cousins were at this game. Devontae Graham buried a late three at Madison Square Garden to beat the Knicks. Ramona, I kind of want to make this a Knicks topic, even though it's not.
I know, me too.
Do the Hornets have a shot at the playoffs this season?
I guess it's the East, right?
Let's talk about the Knicks.
That was so sad for the Knicks right there. Like, hey, they really needed that win. This is one of the games in this part of the schedule where they need to win.
It's about to get tough.
To get so tough for them, and they needed that game.
Better than not having, like, they just came off the Dallas Mavericks win, so at least they got one.
Yeah, they got a good one.
This is the, like, the bizarro Hornets. They were the team that lost every single close game, and now they're losing in blowouts and winning every single close game. It's crazy.
I love Devontae Graham. There's something about the way he plays. It just it makes me happy. Speaking of another set of point guards that make people happy, we have a spicy matchup tonight between Russell Westbrook and Damian Lillard. Now, you might remember, last time we saw these two together, Dame sent Westbrook's Thunder team home in the playoffs last season with one of the coldest shots in NBA history. Today, with Westbrook now on the Rockets, what do you expect from this point guard matchup tonight?
That NSYNC, bye. Okay. I am here for this matchup. Thank you. I've been on pitch today. I'm very happy. I'm here for this matchup because it's one of those games that we can get from Russ where it's like, you know what? I remember. On top of it, I'm going to try to dunk everything. Like, forget the outside shooting. He takes things personal. He's going to be going coast to coast. He's going to try to dunk everything in transition. He's going to try to cross somebody up. He's probably going to even say, James is going to be to the side and like, I want the ball. He's going to probably wave him off. Like, that's how personal he takes it.
Isn't that what gets him in trouble?
I was going to say, Russ taking things personally is like, if I'm the other team, I'm like, let's make it personal.
But the fans win.
We're going to see one of these
Ariza. We're going to see it rock the baby at some point. Tonight. He's going to take Dame in the post and shoot a bank shot. Maybe he'll go in. Maybe if it goes in, he's going to rock the baby.
So let's talk about the etiquette here, though. Like, Dame made the shot. So when you make the shot and you hold your hand up and you pose for the cameras, it's on the other person to answer. Dame doesn't have to do anything.
No, of course not. He won a playoff series with the Warriors. He ruined their team.
Dame's going to be fine. He's probably going to go for a cool 30-35. Now, Russ is going to be the one that's going to be fun to watch.
Let's see, though. Like, if Dame has another game like that, what does he do?
I don't think
is that rubbing it in?
No, because you already did it in the playoffs. No. This is just another day. If you're Dame, there's nothing to this. Just another day.
Just
by the way, he's another guy who's had a great, tremendous start to the season.
If they had more wins, he would have been on that graphic.
Absolutely.
List.
All right, our league pass game of the night is Celtics at Suns. Ooh. The team's currently third and fourth in net rating, with Boston coming off a heartbreaking loss to Sacramento yesterday. Zach, which guard do you expect to put up more tonight? Is it Kemba or is it Booker, who once put up 70 on the Celtics?
It's got to be Devin Booker. How is it not going to be Devin Booker? Celtics are on a tough back-to-back. The Suns are rested. Devin Booker's a scorer. If I were that kind of person, I would put a lot of money on Devin Booker.
The Aaron Baines.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know why we're talking about the guards. This is the Aaron Baines revenge game.
Yeah.
Everyone's talking about he's living his best life in Phoenix right now. He's playing his best basketball. This is the Aaron Baines revenge game. This is where the Valley Boys show out. I think it'll be, the Celtics coming off a loss. It's going to be interesting how they react. But yeah, I'm going to watch Aaron Baines. That's the first time I said that.
The Suns team is defending way better than they have in the last 5 years.
Yeah, defending. And I think, though, that, like, to me, this is Kemba. I'm going to go with Kemba on this one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Kemba on this one just because, like, they're coming off a loss here. And I think Kemba, as the leader of this team, is going to help right the ship. And I think this is how they reconstitute themselves. I think this is him saying, all right, come on, young guys, let's go.
And if I had to pick a guard, I'm hyped. But if I had to pick a guard, I'd go Kemba, too, because I think Kemba is a good fusion of their past point guards, Isaiah Thomas and then also Kyrie Irving. He's got the best of both, and he's very unselfish.
Here's my thing, though. There's a part of what Boston has built right here, and I get it. Mm-hmm. You can only play who you play. But you get the Knicks twice. Come on. Like, their schedule has been fairly soft, and now we're starting to see them play tougher competition. And so I'm interested to see against a team, again, that's crazy to say this, a great defensive team like the Suns, how they get their guys loose. And then on the other end of the spectrum, Devin Booker's been tremendous this year. He's finally putting together the offensive side, I think, is expected. But the big thing is he's defending. And I think that's the huge difference between them winning and also what's probably going to make him an all-star this year.
Well, they you're right about the schedule, because they barely got by Golden State before they went over to Sacramento. So that you can challenge them on that.
Yeah,
we'll see tonight.
All right, this just in at the buzzer.
Ooh.
Surprise, surprise. Kyrie Irving will miss tonight's game against the Pacers, the team says. It'll be his second straight missed game due to a shoulder impingement. I see what you're doing there. Zach, are you worried about the Nets?
I am a little worried about the Nets, actually. I didn't think they were going to be all that. But then you remember there's like a 7-footer who's not playing this year, who's coming next year. But I didn't think they were going to be that great this year. I had 44, 45 wins, but they've been like way worse than that. It looks a little disjointed. Like something just, and now injuries are a part of it. They're down a few guys now. It's not piecing together correctly yet.
I think it's one of those subliminal storylines where he sits out and the team still wins.
It seems to happen a lot, doesn't it?
No, I like Kyrie, but I think it's sort of like maybe instead of taking, we're not like the James Harden, everyone is happy with him shooting with Kyrie. It's like, maybe like five less shots a game. But Kyrie can still give you 50.
You can go back to the system.
Oh,
Celtics won a lot of games when Kyrie sat out last year.
Look, go back to the way that
I believe it's Kyrie.
It's funny when Kawhi sits out, everyone's like, no, but Kawhi is great. When Kyrie sits out, it's like, oh, it's because Kyrie sat.
Confirmation bias.
Yeah. No, we all hear what we want to hear. All right. Thank you to Janae, Ramona, and Zach for joining me today. Rachel will be back tomorrow. See you until then, folks.
Now you ready?
And
yes.
Here we go.
This is a long
last time you
shot.
Messed this up. I was watching and you didn't know where to shoot, which is just.
Come on, babe.
Oh, no.
Give another one.
How do you know Anthony?
You got another one.
You got another one.